Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, we are fortunate to have Amber Lewis back to join us for the second segment of an interview. Amber, as you remember from last week, is the founder and CEO of The Good Kitchen. Just to recap, The Good Kitchen is a meal delivery service with the tagline, fresh, delicious, fully prepared meals delivered right to your door. The meals are paleo, organic, and non-GMO, and they're ready in 3 minutes. So, Amber, thanks so much for sticking around for the next 30 minutes.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
So we weaved in and out of a bunch of stuff last week. We talked about how you got started. We talked about some of the struggles of, you know, finding space and growing and how you pivoted from delivering to CrossFit gyms to, you know, more of a delivery to your door program. So we went through a lot of different businesses or business transitions for you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people do that with help. So do you have a board or team of advisors today? And if so, when did that develop?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 16-part question. When did it develop and how were you able to pull it all together?
Sure. So I've got a couple of different boards and groups that I'm involved with. The first one is Vistage. And I started with Vistage, I guess it's been almost a year now. And that is a business group. We do monthly meetings. You know, you're able to go in there as the CEO and you present issues and you get a lot of different perspectives on different, you know, issues or strategies. And it's really like a board of directors that is unbiased to your business. And they really just want to see, you know, your success as the CEO and entrepreneur. And that has been amazing because one of the things that I had always said when I started the business, even though I had a bunch of really supportive people around me, I felt like I was on an island a lot of times. Everything was very dependent on me. The weight of the company was on my shoulders, essentially. And you start to feel that weight as you get several years into a business. And the more it grows, the more that pressure grows. And so really, you need a release valve. And that's where I found Vistage to be just so incredibly helpful for my well-being and my growth as a CEO and an entrepreneur. So that was the first place. And I can't say enough about it if it's not Vistage. You know, just finding a business group as an entrepreneur where you can go and there are other people that are doing what you're doing, and there are other people that feel like they're on an island, and you can really communicate and discuss and talk about your strategies before implementing anything. Very helpful with Vistage. You do have a coach that you meet with as well that also leads the Vistage groups, but that has been super helpful just to kind of help me through, you know, gathering financial reports and how to read them. And, you know, that was not in my, I did not have to do that for business prior to starting my own.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a huge learning curve when it came to business. And so that was really helpful.
Oh, I bet.
And then the second place, when we started going through our capital raise, we have a board of directors. It's myself and my business partner. And then three of our original investors who are business owners, entrepreneurs out of Atlanta. And okay. So the five of us meet on a monthly basis, and it's more just our business focus. So it's almost like, and they actually have all been in Vistage at one time or another.
Okay.
And so it's like a mini Vistage meeting, but all focused on the Good Kitchen.
That's good.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
So how long has the board been, you've been raising money since February or March, is that right?
Actually since middle of summer, and we brought our first investment in August.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, that board of five people has been intact since August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Helped you on focus, something you'd advocate for? Absolutely, yes, no?
Yeah, you know, I wish I would have done the board of directors prior to the capital raise, and I wish I would have started Vistage probably the first month of my business. I mean, I cannot tell you how much that, I mean, even just from the stress level, and you realize, like, you're not the only one going through the stuff that you're going through, and just having different eyes and ears to help you work through and be strategic about your business. You know, it's just like, it's, I can't say enough about it. And any entrepreneur out there, if you are going it alone, go find people that you can put on a board so that you have a sounding board. I mean, it's, I can't say enough about it. It's so important.
Yeah. And having my own startup at one point in time that's since gone under, you really can get tunnel vision, and having mm-hmm. people to open up that tunnel for you is hugely important.
Yes, very.
So competition exists. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that happens in business, right?
Right.
So what's the competition like in your line?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been really interesting to see what has happened over the past 5.5 years. When we started, you know, our competition was, you know, other folks that were trying to fill your belly with dinner or lunch, you know. So it was like a Chipotle or something like that. That was a little bit healthier version, but we didn't really have a whole lot to compare ourselves to. Mm-hmm. We started before Blue Apron did, or before we knew who Blue Apron was in Charlotte. So it's been really interesting to see how this market has really picked up, and to see the people that are jumping on board, and it's exciting. I mean, it gives us a lot to look forward to, not only to see our space growing and for people to understand what clean eating is, for people to understand what paleo is, and for people to understand the difference between grass-fed beef and grain-fed beef, and why it's important to go with a pasture-raised animal and caring where their food comes from. I mean, that was all education that we were having to do ourselves, along with preparing meals. And so it's just been really exciting to see the industry grow, and that we've been able to be a part of it. And then, you know, with the whole Blue Apron thing, because that's been on everybody's mind recently. You know, there's been some challenges with that just from an investment standpoint, because people equate us a lot to a meal kit service. And then when they actually understand that our food is fully prepared, it's like a light bulb goes off and they're like, that was the missing piece. Yeah. It's like, I needed it fully prepared.
Yeah.
So that's another big value proposition that we really bring to the table. Pun intended. So it's, you know, it's exciting times. And, you know, now Amazon's buying for their spot in the fresh food world. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's been really cool to see our industry get so much press, and people are talking about it, which can only be good things, you know, and competition's very healthy. It makes you do a better job at your product and make sure that you have the best product that's customer facing. And so I always welcome competition, and I'm just really excited to see where we're going from here.
So with that being said, if I understand correctly, mm-hmm. you picked up a key promoter in Rob Wolf, is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
And for those that don't know Rob Wolf, he's a huge personality, huge person in the paleo world. How were you able to connect with Rob? And that's been kind of a recent engagement, I believe, but how has that helped the business ever since it started?
So we actually met Rob through my friend and now business partner, Melissa. Okay. We met Rob years ago actually he was in Atlanta promoting his first book, and he did a paleo talk and a book signing at my friend Melissa's gym. So we went down to Atlanta for that. We had dinner that night. And then, you know, just kind of interacted via social media. And when Melissa moved to Charlotte and joined what was then Mod Paleo, which would be the Good Kitchen soon, we had talked about, you know, contacting Rob to see if he would be interested in becoming an affiliate for us. And so we reached out to him to see if it was something that he was interested in. And lo and behold, we sent him some meals and he loved them. His favorite is the Korean beef bowl and he shouts that every chance he gets. But we, you know, it was just a natural fit. We, you know, with our customers, it's all about, you know, getting the right food in front of them. And everybody, you know, that they have good intentions, they want to eat that way, but they don't always have the time to. And so, you know, as Rob was writing his second book, he kind of fell into that category and we were actually feeding him while he was writing his book. And so he became, you know, that person that, you know, has really good intentions, but really, really busy and really stressed and, you know, just trying to have a family and family time. And, you know, he saw the value in the sourcing that we were doing, very strict about where we're getting our proteins, and just all of the care that we were taking to put into our meals. And, you know, from the conversations that we had with him, he was, you know, just like it was a no-brainer that it was a really well-sourced meal, and when you don't have time, it's the best option.
Yeah.
So it was a good fit. Yeah.
Speaking of kind of development and how things kind of go along, I mean, you're kind of a growing into a technology company these days to a certain extent, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And and you're, in order to do that, your coding background has to be quite extensive.
Oh, the development. Yeah. Yes, we have. You know, it's been really interesting. And I say this almost probably on a monthly basis. I just wanted to cook good food for people. And we have turned into a logistics and technology company.
I hadn't thought about the logistics piece, right?
Yeah.
You're a logistics company that happens to fumble around with food a little bit.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And then to also be sure that we're putting the best product out there from a quality standpoint and sourcing. I mean, we put so much effort into that, but our technology and our logistics have to be flawless to make all of that work. When we first started, I would take orders, you know, over Facebook and text message and Facebook Messenger, and people would email me and they would call me. And then I would put it into an Excel spreadsheet, and I eventually would take PayPal payments.
Did you do stone tablets too? I mean, that sounds kind of antiquated.
we did little mailboxes, locked mailboxes on the side of refrigerators where people could put their checks.
Okay, fair enough. So yes, stone tablets.
Talk about advanced. My neighbor was a coder, and I was telling him my dilemma of all these orders coming in from different places. And I was like, I know I'm going to mess something up soon. Like, I can see the writing on the wall because we're growing too fast. I can't keep up with it all and cook the food and deliver it. And so he was like, oh, well, I can build you a web page where it's just people can go and they can place their orders.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, perfect. Can you have it done tomorrow? So about 3 months later, I had a website.
Yeah.
Or a web page or an online ordering system, because we had a website. Okay. And we had the ability for people to go in and place their orders online. But it was a very labor-intensive back end that he mm-hmm. had to pull all the reporting. And it was just it became a full-time job for him, essentially.
Yeah.
So when he had to go get a real job, he was like, you've got to figure something else out. So we started looking at out-of-the-box e-commerce sites like BigCommerce, Shopify, that sort of thing. But the recurring payments was the thing that kind of kept tripping us up, because we wanted to have a trial week, but we also wanted the ability for people to have recurring revenue. We tried BigCommerce for a minute. It wasn't a great fit. And so then we moved to a Magento platform, and we have a team of back-end developers, front-end developers, that kind of make the website do what it does. And so, yeah, it's that's probably been the biggest struggle from a learning curve, is understanding development, not coming from that kind of background. But I did have project management experience, which was good.
I bet.
So I understood some of the language, but when it's your own business, it's different. So that's probably been my biggest learning curve, is the development piece of it and understanding, you know, the process of developing an online ordering system.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, websites and technology, I think they trip us all up. So having a team to help you out is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You've flown under the radar in the startup community here to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the CrossFit community, and outside of that, I've seen some of the places where you've been published.
Mm-hmm.
So not the community at large, but the smaller kind of niche startup community.
Yeah.
Has that been purposeful, or has it just been, because it's not well publicized?
Yeah.
Or is it just the fact that you've been too busy to go over to it, or is it some combination of all of the above?
You know, it's been interesting. I think that it was a timing thing of when I started the business, and then really just the life of being the founder of a company. You go 100 miles an hour, and then, you know, to think, oh, I'm going to go to this networking event now, which is so important.
Yeah.
And everybody should just, like, suck it up and go. But, you know, it's just that whole thing that I spoke about before, where you get so involved in working in the business, you kind of lose sight of working on the business. And so it's really been the past 2 years that I've been working on the business. And we had in startup and investment connections through Atlanta. And so that was kind of where we first started even considering taking on capital. And I mean, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, when I started this company, I, you know, completely naive entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got this. I don't need money. And
how far we've come, right?
Yes. And I yes. say that to, you know, to humble myself as well, because if I knew then what I know now, the first week in business, I would have gone out and found capital. Like, it just no brainer. You have to have it. There's no question. It is really, really tough, and you put yourself through a lot that you don't need to if you try to bootstrap something. Unless you've got a large chunk of money from savings, or, you know, you've got a full-time job that you're going to, you know, be your own investor.
Or you've done it before.
Exactly. But when you're talking about building a company from the ground up that involves logistics, development, labor, marketing, digital marketing, influencers, I mean, these were all things I had no concept of what I was getting myself into when I started it. I wouldn't do anything differently from that aspect. I mean, I would start it again, you know, tomorrow, but the investment thing, like, that, if I had to go back and say, you know, what's the one thing I would do differently, that would be it. I would get involved in the startup community and get involved with, I mean, even if I wasn't going to take on an investment at the time, like, having the conversation is really important. And, you know, one of the reasons that I feel like within Charlotte is Charlotte tends to be very focused on tech and finance. And I think in my mind, I was like, oh, well, I'm not really either one of those. And my business is more food focused. But then as I've evolved into a technology company, it's like, well, and, you know, the investor and the startup community kind of started around when I started my business as well. And so, you know, when I mentioned before about the timing thing, I think it was just a timing issue where we were both kind of like growing and growing and growing at the same time. And now it's like, oh, you're here too.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the startup community. Well, we're going to drag you in.
I love it.
So, but no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, not only do investors bring capital, but oftentimes they've been involved in it before. So, you know, they're able to help show you that there's a turn up ahead, or there's a fork in the road, or something like that. So,
exactly.
You know, it's not just the fact that they're going to bring capital. It's the fact that they help you see further than you can see on your own.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, it's, you know, the conversations that you have with investors, whether they're going to invest in your company or not, you know, are priceless for the reasons that you said, because they really do bring a knowledge that as an entrepreneur, you know, you're so focused on the success of this idea that it, you know, sometimes it takes somebody else's, you know, eyes on it to say, like, have you really thought about everything? And then you can sometimes find a golden nugget in that conversation. You're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? This is perfect. Yeah. So those conversations are priceless.
Are there things, and again, it's grown up alongside of you,
mm-hmm.
but are there things you wish were accessible to you in Charlotte or maybe more accessible or publicized as you were starting your business or pushing it along? Are there resources that you wish you knew about that didn't know about, or have you cobbled it together?
You know, I when I first started, I remember somebody put me in touch with, and the name of the organization is going to completely flip my mind, but it is an organization where you can go and get a mentor for startup, small business, like if you need help with, like, you know, pulling a P&L and how to read it and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that they were in their infancy and starting as well. Like that part of it, like that mentorship coming, you know, my age group is, you know, like, we didn't really have mentors, and it just wasn't, you know, unless you went into like a large corporation and you were in sales or finance or something like that, and you could find a mentor within your career. But to just go out and start a business, that was always what I felt like I was missing, is I didn't have like a mentor.
Yeah.
And I did find a little bit of that in Vistage, which was amazing, but it would have been really nice to have it at the beginning of the starting the business. So like that mentorship program or something like that, and really just the financial support for a startup, you know, knowing what the options are and why you need it and that sort of thing. Because like I said, I was very naive coming out of the gates and didn't really understand what I was saying when I was like, no, we don't need any capital. When it's like, oh no, you need capital.
the blinders were fully on.
Yeah. If you're going to scale and, you know, live out your dream of what this is going to look like, then, you know, there's going to be some capital involved.
So speaking of dreams, for listeners out there who have an idea or have a dream about starting their own business or their own startup, what advice do you have now that you wouldn't have had 5 or 6 years ago? And it can't be raise capital on day one. We just talked about that.
I have to come up with number two.
You
know, the business group and the mentorship, even if it's, you know, other entrepreneurs like in your same age range or in the same like growth phase of a business, just having people outside of your business to communicate with and network with and even socialize with. I mean, you know, that's one of the things as a small business owner and founder of a company is you start to find that your social community is like the most neglected thing on the face of the earth. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, wait a second, where are all my friends?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it's just because you never have time for it. And so it's always the thing that gets put off. And so finding other people that are in that same boat is really helpful because they understand and they're always going to continue to ask you to go do stuff. And when they see you, you know, at the end of your rope, it's like, look, you need to step away, you know, and having people in your life that can kind of call you out on that so that you do maintain some kind of, even if it's not a balance, but you do have some work and some life. Because, you know, I'm totally going to mess this up. I think Tony Robbins was recently quoted saying that, you know, there's really no work-life balance. You just have to find something that you like to do for work that your life can live with. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, finding that and finding the people to surround yourself that feel that way as well. You know, having the business group, having a coach or a mentor, just surrounding yourself with like-minded people is extremely important from the beginning.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've done a fantastic job over the course of the last year or two, and you know, going back all the way to the beginning as well. So well done on building to this point, and we certainly wish you nothing but the best of luck as you continue to build out over the course of the next 12, 24, and 120 months as things go forward. So
thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us today and last week, Amber. Wish you the best of luck. And like I said, welcome to the Charlotte startup community, and we'll get you plugged in as best we can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, William. I appreciate it.
Clearly, that was a great interview with Amber. Really enjoyed, you know, certainly her perspective. You know, she goes back to day one. You know, what does she do differently? She raises capital. Capital is the lifeline of a startup, so not having it is extremely penalizing. And I think the more startup founders you talk to, the more you realize how crucial it really is. Another thing that she really brought up that I thought was really important, and something that the Charlotte community, through, you know, folks like Juan Garcon, Dan Roselli, Greg Brown, and others in the community have done successfully, certainly John Baggiano and Chris Baggiano and Mark McDowell, who we've spoken with on the podcast in the past, have done a good job on over the course of the last couple of years, is to develop that community, the community for founders, as well as folks that simply just want to pitch in and be part of the entrepreneurship that's starting to take hold here in Charlotte. So really good interview with Amber. You know, great company, the Good Kitchen. Can't speak highly enough about it. We had not ordered from them prior to last week. I placed an order last night, so we should be customers here within the next couple of days. Very excited about it. As I go through a couple more interviews here over the course of the next couple of weeks, I will give an update on, you know, kind of my perspective, or you know, what I got, how I ate it, and probably most of the time I'll do lunch. But anyways, I'm really excited about sharing that with you. Next week, we've got a great podcast as well. It's one of the things I've wanted to dive into, was to get outside of just the startup world and start to dive into some other illiquid assets. So we've got an interview next week on Bitcoin, blockchain, Ethereum. We've got a great interview, I think. Just ran through it today. Kyle Suhan, he's with Blockade Technologies. He's been mining Bitcoins for the last 2 years now. So he's got some personal experience on the process. He's got some personal experience on how Bitcoin's developed, you know, how blockchain works and everything else. So really good interview. Hope you'll tune in next week. And at the same time, please visit The Good Kitchen at The Good Kitchen, or www.thegoodkitchen.com. Look at the different packages that you can pick up and order. There is great food. It's a fantastic way to get a good meal for yourself, in a quick fashion. Support the local, you know, entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs here in Charlotte by visiting the website, making an order, spreading the news to your friends. And we look forward to having you joining us next week. Thanks so much. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.